We're holding the Sadiq Zayn Ahmed Bey's, the third line of the widest lines. Continuing to talk about Mashiach and about when he's going to come. The Gemara says, Amar Rav, kolo kola kitzin. Rav says, all the kitzin, all the times that we said, that we've talked about before, when Mashiach is going to come by this time or by that time, have passed. The ein adavar tolu ela b'tshuva, the whole ma'isin tovim, the whole matter depends only on tshuva or ma'isin tovim. Mashiach can come any time, but we need to do tshuva and ma'isin tovim, and that's why Mashiach is being delayed. Mind you, by the way, you know, we talked about even the earliest text that we learned about yesterday was beginning the year 4000. We talked about before the year 4000 is still the years of Torah. Only after that begins Yemos the Mashiach. Rav himself passed away in the year 4007. So he lived only 7 years into Yemos the Mashiach, and already he's saying kola kola kitzin. Imagine us now, we're 1700 years later. Okay, so Rav is saying, in other words, in short, it's not a matter of one or another text. It's not a matter of one or another time that Hashem has determined that Mashiach is going to come. It's rather we have to do tshuva, and then we have to do tshuva, ma'isim tovim, and then that's what the Eibishter is waiting for. Or Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Daya la'ovel sheyamad be'evloi. It's enough time for the oval staying in his state of avelus. So Rashi gives two explanations. First explanation is that the oval over here is Hashem. So we're saying Hashem is, so to speak, in a state of avelus. Hashem is Hashem's right hand is withdrawn. We learned the other day, we had the expression Ketz Hayomin from the end of Sefer Daniel, which literally means the end of days. But Rashi had explained also that Yomin means the right, so it means the end of the time when Hashem's right hand is, so to speak, withdrawn, and he's running the world almost kavyachol, like with a handicap. So the first explanation of Rashi over here is the oval over here means Hashem, meaning, in other words, that even if they don't do tshuva, Hashem is not going to remain an oval forever. There's going to be a ketz. There is an actual ketz by which Hashem has decided Mashiach is going to come by this deadline, no matter what, whether we deserve it or not. That's Rashi's first explanation. The second explanation is the oval over here refers to the Jewish people. That we're saying it's enough time that we Jewish people are sitting in a state of avelus without Mashiach. It's enough time that we have the Tsar of Golos, and with or without Tshuva, Mashiach is going to come. So the Gemara says, Ketanoi. This is actually like a Machlokas Tanoim. A Braisa says, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, in Yisrael Oisin Tshuva Nigolin, if the Jewish people do Tshuva, then they will be redeemed. Vim Lav Ein Nigolin, and if not, then they will not be redeemed. It's going to wait until we do Tshuva, says Rebbe Eliezer. And Rabbi Yeshua says, "Im ein oisin tshuva in the golden." What are you telling me? And if they don't do tshuva, they're never going to go out of golos. Is the golos going to last forever? Chas v'shalom? No. Ella. So rather, if they don't do tshuva willingly, Hakadosh Baruch Hu mamon lahem melech shegzeros of koshes kahaman, Hashem will cause there to arise against the Jewish people a king whose gzeros, a king, a ruler whose gzeros that was harsh as haman, v'yisrael oisin tshuva, and with that, the Jewish people will do tshuva. O machzirin lamuta. And bring them back to good, and then the Geula will come. So in other words, it comes out, Marsha and other Mephoshim explain, it comes out that even Shmuel would say, Daya l'olol sheyamid be'evloi, he doesn't mean necessarily there doesn't have to be tshuva at all. He means there can be tshuva, but it can just be because of the avelos of golus, it can just be because of the harshness of the later haman or whatever. But nevertheless, there does have to be tshuva in order for Mashiach to come. Just the point is, it doesn't have to be tshuva me'ava, doesn't have to be even have to be tshuva me'yira. It can be tshuva because of the disasters that are hitting the Jewish people. But one way or the other, there has to be tshuva. There is also, you know. And there are Mephoshim who understand that what it means is, you know, listen, when Mashiach comes and blows his shofar, then, you know, at that point, anybody who hasn't done shofar yet will. And it doesn't maybe have to be the entire Jewish people, even Ruv, and there can be different degrees of shofar. Here we see after the attacks in Eretz Yisrael, for example, there's been an enormous wave of shofar in the world. So we really are living through now. We have a Melech Kosher Kahaman, and we see it is actually having the effect. So the Gemara continues, Tanya Idach, we learn in another Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im Yisrael Oysen Truva Nigolin, that in the second Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are going to be trading Psukim back and forth to prove their respective points about Truva, whether Truva was a necessary prerequisite for Mashiach to come, or whether Mashiach can come without Truva, and he himself will cause people to do Truva. So the second Braisa says, Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, Yisrael oisim tshuva nigolin. If the Jewish people do tshuva, then they'll be redeemed. Shenema, as we find a pasuk, the Novi says to the Jewish people, shuvu vonim shrevavim, return, you backsliding, you stubborn children, erpa mashuva seichem, I will heal your backsliding. Meaning, in other words, you have to do tshuva, you have to take the initiative and do tshuva, and then Hashem will heal you and bring the geula. Omalei Rabbi Yeshua, Valei Kva Nema, Rabbi Yeshua answers back, but there's another pasuk that says, Chinam Nimkartem, you've been sold for free, Valei V'chesef Tigo'elu, and you will not be redeemed with silver, with money, and that means, Chinam Nimkartem Ba'avodis Kechavim, you've been sold into Golos for free, for nothing, namely for Avodah Zarah, which after all is worthless, but you're going to be redeemed not with silver, meaning you're not going to need tshuva or ma'isim tovim in order to be redeemed. Even you don't do tshuva, you're still going to be redeemed. So Rashi explains, in other words, that once the pasuk uses chinam as a metaphor for the cause of golos, and chinam also includes sinas chinam, for example, then it means, and therefore the pasuk continues the metaphor by using kesef, silver, as a metaphor for the means of geula. In addition, also kesef means the yearning for Hashem. That's part of tshuva. So in other words, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, based on that pasuk, no, you don't need that. The when Mashiach himself comes, that will be enough motivation, and the people will do tshuva. Or according to the previous braisa, that Hashem will bring a melech koshek haman, and that will motivate them. So Rabbi Yeshua is saying, don't tell me that you need to do tshuva, and only then Mashiach is going to come. As we see from that pasuk, that it's not necessary. Rabbi Eliezer answers back, doesn't another pasuk say, shuvu elai v'ashuvu aleichem, return to me, Hashem says, and I will return to you, which implies that first you have to return to me, and then Hashem is going to be willing to return to us with the geula. But you have another passage. Hashem says, I have mastered over you, which implies, in other words, that even you're not willing to, but nevertheless, against your will, whether you like it or not, Hashem is going to show his mastery over us, which again includes, in other words, that Mashiach is going to come, and it's going to be very obvious that the Geula has come, and then everybody is going to be doing Tshuva, even at the last moment. And Hashem continues, I'll take you, even if there's only one from an entire city, I'll choose out the tzaddikim and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. So everybody may not be worthy, but I'll choose from you one from among a city, or two from an entire extended family, and I'll bring you to Tzion. So we see from Baal Tibachem that it means it can be Baal Kocham, it can be the Jewish people are not yet ready and not yet willing, and nevertheless Hashem is going to choose out the tzaddikim and bring them. And ultimately, it doesn't have to mean that everybody else is left behind. We're going to talk about later in the perek. We're going to talk about towards the end of the perek. We're going to have a gemara over there that seems to imply that only a very tiny fraction of Jews are going to make it to the Gula Amitis Vashlema, but we'll talk about there that that doesn't necessarily mean that. This is going to be on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, so in another 2 weeks, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about it. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that. It can mean a tiny fraction relative to all the number of Jews who have lived throughout the generations who are going to have Mashiach's times only later by Tzias Amazing. In any case, the point is, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, you see from this pasuk that it doesn't require the cooperation of the Jewish people. Hashem is going to do it unilaterally. Rabbi Eliezer answers back. Doesn't the pasuk say with shuva, which means shuva, vanachas, and then in peace, tivosheun, you will be redeemed. So they have to have shuva. They have to return in shuva before Mashiach will come. Omalei Rabbi Yeshua, the Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Yeshua answers back, V'aloi kvan nemar, doesn't another pasuk say, Koy amar Hashem goyo Yisrael l'kdoshay, so says Hashem, the Redeemer and the Holy One of And by the way, as a Marshal, for example, points out, the Shuvah von Nachas means that it's going to be a Shuvah that comes from Nachas, that comes from peacefulness, not the kind of Shuvah that we were talking about before that comes because of a Melach Kosher Kahaman, for example. So that implies that it's going to have to be a fully voluntary Shuvah, says Rabbi Eliezer. So, Marshall explains, I mean, what is each one doing with the other one's pasuk? Each one, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, fine, I agree with you, this is what Hashem is requesting of us, but Hashem is saying, I'm going to do it anyway, whether you actually follow through on that request or not. So, for example, the Shuvah Vonim Shevivim, sure, Hashem would like us to do Shuvah, but even if he doesn't, Hashem is still going to take us out of Golos based on the pasuk that Rabbi Yeshua quoted, and so forth. There's, in fact, a Medrash, by the way, that says that the Jewish people and Hashem have a constant argument about this. Hashem says, Shuvu alive or Shuvu aleichem, the pasuk that we quoted, return to me, and then I'll return to you. In other words, you have to make the first move. And we answer back to Hashem, Ashivenu, Hashem elecha v'nashuva. Hashem, you bring us back to us, and then we'll return. In other words, you have to take the first step. So again, Rabbi Eliezer says, "B'shuvah v'nachas tivasheyon." You'll be saved with shuvah, v'nachas when it's done in a gentle way, not as a result of harsh gzeiros. Tivasheyon, then you'll be redeemed. But you have another passage. So says Hashem, the Redeemer of the Jewish people and the whole and His Holy One. Hashem is speaking to the ones who are. Whose soul is disgusting, meaning who made themselves disgusting and repulsive with their averus, le'eved moshlim, the ones who've been serving the Jewish people, who've been serving goyish rulers. Nevertheless, Hashem is going to take you out of Golos. Malachim yiruvakamu, kings will see you and stand up, and kings will see them and stand up in their honor. Sorim yishachvu, princes will see them and bow. So in other words, even the lebzoi nefesh, even the ones who've been acting in a disgusting way and then dirtied their neshamas with avedus, nevertheless they're going to still be brought. They're going to still be brought out of Golos and be part of the Jewish people who are going to be honored at the time when Mashiach comes. So therefore, so you see, in other words, so it doesn't matter whether the tshuva, so it doesn't matter what kind of tshuva it does, whether they do, whether it's benachas or whether not, whether it's tshuva, because of tsaris, either we were saying, la'evet moshlin, having to serve rulers, which is a great tsara, nevertheless, it's still going to be an acceptable tshuva, and Hashem will bring Mashiach because of that. By the way, worth mentioning in this connection, a mashal that the Medrash brings on this pasuk, a different mashal, the Medrash compares it to, you have a piece of wood that's been used for years in a bathhouse, everybody steps on it, you know, so they don't get their feet wet. Then one day the king is coming to town, and they need a nice piece of wood to make an image of it to display in the city square. So they realize the best piece of wood for it is this one that everybody's been trampling for years in the bathhouse. So they take it, they carve out the king's image on it, and they set it up, and everybody starts coming and bowing in front of it. What is this? Yesterday you were trampling all over it in the bathhouse, and now you're bowing to it. It's not the wood itself. It's still the same wood, but now it has the king's image on it. The same way, when Mashiach comes, everybody's going to realize we Jewish people have Hashem's image on us, and therefore they're going to look at us with completely different eyes. So Rabbi Eliezer answers back, the pasuk says, if you return Yisrael, says Hashem, to me you will return. So in other words, if you do tshuva, then you will return to your original greatness. But not without that. Rabbi Yeshua answers back, but here you have another pasuk from Daniel, and this clinches the matter. Daniel, after he has his visions of the four kingdoms that are going to rule over the Jewish people until the time when Mashiach comes, he says, he asks the Malach on Mosai Ketzapler, or actually one Malach asks another, one Malach who's speaking to Daniel asks another Malach Gabriel, and Mosai Ketzapler, how long is going to be the end, when is going to be the end of all these wondrous things, when is Mashiach going to come? And the pasuk says, Va'eshma sa'ish levusha badim, I heard the man who was dressed in white, which was actually Malach Machol, Asher mimal lememe hayor, who was standing above the waters of the river by which Daniel had this vision, Va'yorim yiminu smoyle el shemayim, he lifted up his right and his left hands as a shrua to shemayim, he's swearing in Hashem's name, Va'yishava b'cheya olam, and he swore by the life of the world by Hashem, ki lemoyed moyedim b'chetzi, that after a time and two times and a half a time, we talked about yesterday what that might mean, we talked about there was a calculation, that put that in terms of the times of from Yitzias Mitzrayim until the Beis Hamikdash was built, and the time of the length of the first Beis Hamikdash, and it came out to a calculation of about 1,400 years. That calculation is long gone, but based on that pasuk, different other calculations have been made. Anyway, whatever that Murid Mechetzi means, Uchalos Napitz Yad Am Kodesh, when the power of the holy nation has been completely shattered, tichlena kolela, all of these will end. So in other words, there is some kind of text. What the moed moedim v'chaitzim means right now, we don't know exactly, and even Daniel was not given to know it clearly. It was told to him, and then it was hidden. But the point is, in other words, the pasuk makes it very clear that there is an actual ketz, that it's not a matter of the Jewish people doing tshuva, no matter what. Hashem has a deadline by which Mashiach has to come, whether the Jewish people deserve it or not. The Shasak, Rabbi Eliezer, at that point, Rabbi Eliezer was quiet, and he gave up his position and accepted Rabbi Yeshua's position that you don't necessarily need tshuva, or at least you don't need a self-motivated tshuva for it. In other words, the point is, a malach is not going to swear based on a suffix that if they don't do tshuva, they're not going to be diggle. So all the other ones, yeah, eventually there's going to be a tshuva one way or the other, whether because of melech kosher kahaman or whether because Mashiach himself comes, there will be a tshuva, but nevertheless we see from that pasuk that there's going to be a geula even before that tshuva is complete. Okay. The Gemara continues. The Amar of Abba, further of Abba says, Ein l'cha ketz megula mizeh. There's no more revealed ketz than the following. Shenemar, you have a pasuk in Yechezkel, Va'atem hore Yisrael, you mountains of Yisrael, Antachem titenu, you will give forth your branches, Ofer yechem tisu, and you'll bear your fruit, La'am Yisrael, for my people Yisrael, V'goymer, the pasuk continues, Ki keru v'lovoy, because they're coming very soon. So in other words, when we see that the trees in Eretz Yisrael are fruitful and giving their fruit, but Ayin Yafa very generously, then we know the Geula is very closely on its way. And Rabbi Abba says this is a very clear ketz. So on one level, you know, you go to Eretz Yisrael nowadays, you can see, Baruch Hashem, you can see tremendous orchards of fruit that are growing by Hachava, so it's a real simon, therefore, that Mashiach is very much on his way. And in fact, Maharsha points out, you know, that we have in the Teuchacha, it says that Eretz Yisrael will be desolate during the time when it's in the Goyim's hands. That the Goyim are never going to be able to make the cultivation of Eretz Yisrael work. It's waiting for its own children to bear its fruit and its bounty, and we see that nowadays in Eretz Yisrael. On another level, though, Maharsha says it may also mean the fact that it says that the Mosa Mashiach, the trees will be producing fruit every day. So therefore, so it may mean that when you start seeing that the trees are actually producing fruit every day, then you know that Mashiach is very close. In which case, then we haven't seen that yet, but at any time it can start happening. Rabbi Eliezer, or Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, here's another ketz, af mizeh. Here's another positive that you can see as a simon that the ketz, that Mashiach is very close to coming. Shenemar, positive says, ki lifnei hayomim ha'ela, or ha'im it actually says in the positive, because before those times, schar ha'odam loyniya, there was no profit for people, or schara behema inena, and there was no profit, there were no rental fees for animals. In other words, nobody was able to earn a living and to be able to rent out anything because there was an economic depression basically. Or the layyotze v'labo ein shalom minatzer, and those who are going out and coming in had no peace from the enemies. So in other words, there's going to be a time before Mashiach comes. We talked about yesterday that there's going to be no prutim and akis and other expressions like that. So there's going to come a time when, in other words, that people are going to have an extremely hard time making a living, nobody's going to be able even to rent out. So nobody's going to have any money to even rent people's work or animals' work. So that's also a simon that the geula is very much on its way when you have a situation like that. So the Gemara says, "My la yotzev alabot in shalom and asar." When we say that those who go out and those who come in are also not going to have any peace from the enemy, from the foe, who is the yotzev alabot? Rab ama ach tamer chachamim shekosev behem shalom. Even tamer chachamim, of whom it says that usually they have shalom. Shenema, as the pasuk dichtiv, as the pasuk says, shalom rav la'arve sarasecha. There's great peace for those who love your Torah. Even them, ein shalom mipnei tzur, they will not have peace piece because of the tremendous amount of tzaris. Rashi gives two explanations. One is that tzaris means the tzaris of the Goyish enemies and the economy and so on and so forth. Or Rashi says the second explanation is that tzara means the yetzer hara. Even the Talmud Chacham at that time are going to be beset and have a tremendously hard time dealing with the yetzer hara. One point is, you know, we know the famous expression before an enemy is defeated, he gathers together, he rallies together his last strength to make one last stand. So the same way over here, we're talking about the Yetzer Hara is going to be bottled after when Mashiach comes. So therefore, like the Yetzer Hara makes his one last stand. The Torah Chaim says that's why you have at a time like that, even the Talmid Chachamim are going to have a hard time overcoming the Yetzer Hara because he's rallying his strength for that one last push. And of course, the point is, when you see that, then you know it's you don't give up. That is the time to fight back the hardest. So Shmuel says a different explanation of the pasuk for La Yotze V'La Ba In Shalom. Ad Shiyu Kol Ha'Sharim Kolon Shkulin. All prices will be equal. So Rashi says that means it means a couple of explanations. First of all, we learned yesterday, we had the Gemara had described what's going to be in the 70 years before Mashiach comes. We said there's going to come a point in the 50th year where there's going to be Sova Gadol, great plentifulness. We said there's going to be first a terrible famine and many people are going to die in the Torah. The people who learn Torah are going to forget their Torah. And then we said in the immediate years before Mashiach comes, the economy is going to be improving and there's going to be Sova Gadol, tremendous plenty. Well, then now, at that time, Rashi explains, so now grain and wine and everything will be plentifully available, and therefore the prices for all of them will be very cheap. Rashi gives a second explanation, on the contrary, means all the prices are going to be very expensive, because there's going to be shortages of everything. And there are different various explanations of other possibilities of what this means. Sharim kol sharim shkolim. One of them is Ben Yehoyada explains it means, in other words, that like this, you have normally you have what's called in English they call it arbitrage. You're able to take things from one place and then resell them in another place, and where they don't have very much of it and make a profit. But at this time that we're talking about, that's not going to be possible. The prices are going to be the prices are going to be the same everywhere. So that's another point. In other words, that it's going to be very hard at that time to make a living. Because you don't have that ability of arbitrage or those other kinds of things of being able to hold on to something. Then you just as another point. Normally, you can hold on to something and then sell it as a profit later on. The Gemara continues. Omer Rav Chanina, Ein Ben David Ba, Ben David, which is one of the names of Mashiach, will not come. Ad Shiyis Bakish Dog L'Choyla, until they're going to be looking for a fish to give to a sick person. V'lo Yimotze, and you won't be able to find one. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Ozashkia Meimehem. The pasuk describes in Yechezkel, the context is regarding the defeat and destruction of Mitzrayim. Ozashkia Meimehem, Hashem says, then I will make their waters sink. And I'll make the rivers flow like oil. So in other words, in the context of the pasuk, it means the people of Mitzrayim are going to be going into Golos, as you have for 40 years after Nebuchadnezzar conquered them. They went into Golos. So during that time, there's no people in the land. So therefore, the rivers are running very smoothly. There's nobody to obstruct their flow, so they run as smoothly as oil. Here, the Gemara's understanding, basically, they become polluted. And it becomes so thick, like oil, that no fish are going to be able to swim in it. And it says after that, the word basre is in parenthesis, because not really after that, it's in a different parak, but it says, on that day I will cause the horn, the power, to sprout for the Jewish people, meaning that the Geula will come. So now the problem is, Marshall says that the first pasuk about the rivers being like oil is in Yechezkel Perek Lamed Beis. The second one about Vayemahu Atzmiach Keren is much earlier in Perek Chavtes of Yechezkel. So they don't really fit together. What do you mean Chosav? What do you mean that the Gemara? Never mind the Basre, but what is the connection between them at all? So he says, listen, both psukim are talking about the downfall of Mitzrayim, and the first one, Perek Chavtes of Yechezkel, we read it as the Haftarah from Parshas Va'era, is also talking about the downfall of Mitzrayim, and then it says, Vayemahu Atzmiach. So now Rashi, I mean Marsha continues to point out, we find when the first Beis Mikdash was destroyed, all the animals and birds and even the fish left Eretz Yisrael, and it was completely desolate for a few decades. Now we're talking about the other way around. In Mitzrayim, Marsha learns that this Gemara over here is referring to in Mitzrayim, because that's what the context of the Pesukim is talking about. In Mitzrayim, at that point, they're going to be looking for fish, and they're not going to find, even though Mitzrayim always had plenty of fish, because now all of them are going to leave Mitzrayim and swim back to Eretz Yisrael. So yeah. There's a fascinating reshimis from the Rebbe during 1941. The Rebbe and the Rebbetzin were on the run from the Nazis. This is after World War I had broken out. They're waiting to leave Europe and then come to America. 2 weeks before the Rebbe arrived, shortly before he left, when he was in Lisbon and in Portugal, he wrote a reshima, which later on they found it and published it in reshimis, where the Rebbe addressed our Gemara over here and explained the deeper meaning behind it. First of all, the Rebbe explains we have many different names for Mashiach. We're going to talk about that on Amud Beis. The name Mashiach represents the highest greatness that we can talk about Mashiach. The name Ben David is the lowest one, meaning the only ma'amayla he has is that he's a descendant of David. So therefore, when we say over here, in Ben David ba, usually that's when we're talking about how bad things are going to get before Mashiach comes. So now what we're saying is, that you have those two extremes. On the one hand, we say Mashiach is going to be greater than the others, almost as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. On the other hand, he has a tremendous sense of bittul to Elikus. So therefore, now the Gemara is going to talk about soon. We're going to have the idea about that Mashiach is going to come when either Kulei Zakai or Kulei Chayav, either when the entire generation is worthy or the entire generation is unworthy, as we're going to talk about in the Gemara soon. So now the Rebbe relates that to those two possibilities to this. Here we have, you're talking about when you have the Jewish people, the generation is at the lowest ebb, so now you have the sick person represents a person who is sick because of his Averis. He's sick Beruchnius because of his Averis. So then he needs Tshuva. So what does he do then? So we give him fish. Fish, after all, represent, unlike land animals, which live off the air, but you don't necessarily see it. They're enveloped by air, of course, but you can't see the air, so you don't see openly that you don't openly see how they get their chayus. Fish represent that they're constantly in water. As you take them out of the water, they die. Therefore, they represent the people who represent the kind of people who recognize their constant dependence on Hashem, which is why you have in Rabbi Akiva's famous marshal to Papus Ben Yehuda, he uses fish. You take fish out of the water, they die right away. The same way if we're taken out of an environment of Torah, then we can't live. So fish represent people who know that they depend on Hashem and are constantly with that. So then, so if you can't find such a person, then you know it's a dosh kolei chayev, and then Mashiach necessarily has to come, as the Gemara is going to say soon. Or the other possibility is vice versa. The chola represents, the word chola is Gematria 49. So it represents somebody who's so high up in his avoda that he's missing only the 50th of the Shari Bina. And he's Cholos Ava, he's sick with love for Hashem. So now, but he's a yesh mishoyev. He still feels his own yeshus. So now, when you have a dog, when you have a fish, which represents again the idea of total bittul, lo yimotze, he's going to be looking for it, and he can't reach that level of total bittul to elikus, and therefore he feels sick because of it. So then, that means, in other words, that's a dorsha kolei zakai, that's a generation which is all righteous, and that's also when Mashiach is going to come. So that's the gist of that reshima. The Gemara continues. Omer of Chomer Brachanina, in Ben David Bar, Chetichla Malchus Azalam Yisrael. Mashiach, Ben David, will not come until even the cheapest and lowest rulership of the Jewish people will be gone. So in other words, not just they won't have a king, but they won't have like any position of authority. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'choras ha-zalzalim b'mazmeres, Hashem will cut off the zalzalim, which means the grapevine branches, with machetes, and the post continues by saying the teachers Hesir Hesaz, that Hashem will remove the smaller branches and cut them off. So in other words, both the big branches and the small branches, all different levels of leadership will be gone. And the next post continues, but Esahi Yuval Shaila Hashem Tzvokas, at that time they will be brought as a present to Hashem. The Jewish people who've constantly been pulled around from one place to another and schlepped, Mamushach means pulled umorot and had their hair pulled out. So in other words, and the goyim are going to bring the Jews who are still living among them as a present to Hashem. So we see, in other words, but it has to before that be v'choras azalzalim, that the big and the small branches representing different positions of authority are all going to be gone from the Jewish people. Marsha brings another explanation that Malchus Azala means on the contrary. It means the Malchus Arasha, the wicked kingdom of Edom and all of its offshoots, is going to have to be gone. It's called Malchus Azala in the sense the Gemara elsewhere calls it, that it's as great and powerful as it was at one point. Nevertheless, it's considered a very degraded, a very low class kind of kingdom. The Gemara continues, Ben David is not going to come until the Gassia Ruach, until the Gaivadik people are gone from the Jewish people. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, then Hashem says, I will take away from among you the ones who are happy and Gaivadik about themselves. And the next Pasuk continues, I will leave among you a people who are poor and needy, who realize their dependence on Elokus, and they will trust in the name of Hashem. So he says, in other words, the Geula will come then when the Baal and Gaiva are gone. Here's another one. Until Mashiach will come, only when all the shoftim and shoytrim are gone from the Jewish people. Now here it just says shoftim and shoytrim. This particular piece of Rabbi Simloi in the name of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is also brought in a Gemara and Shabbos, and there it makes it clearer. It says the shoftim and shoytrim haroyim, the bad shoftim and shoytrim. So we don't mean shoftim and shoytrim, the good ones, the Tamar HaChamim, we mean the bad, corrupt ones. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'ashiva yodi olayich, Hashem says, I'll return and bring my hand against you, the etzer of kabursi goyich, and I'll purify your dross, your waste, your unworthy things, like with soap. So sigoyich means, you know, it means the psoilus, the unworthy one among you, like when you have sigoyich literally means like you have silver, for example, you have silver or any other precious metal, and you need to refine it. So right now it's mixed in with a bunch of sigim, a bunch of different inferior metals, and you put it into the kiln, into the crucible, and you burn it and you refine it to burn off all the other base metals. So the same way over here, Hashem is saying that I'm going to refine and purify from among you the sigoyich, and the pasuk continues, v'asira kol bedilayich, I will remove all the bedilayich, which means those who could bedilayich, literally means your kin, but we also understand that it means the ones who have been distinguished, bedilayich, meloshen muvdal, who have been distinguished and separated out to be important and to be judges of the Jewish people. And then the pasuk continues, "Va'ashiva sheftayich," and I'll restore your judges the way they're supposed to be. So we see, in other words, that when the corrupt judges are gone, then Hashem will restore the good judges and clean the Jewish people up, and then bring Mashiach. The Gemara continues, "Oma ula in this connection, in Yerushalayim niftis elab tzedakah. Yerushalayim will be redeemed only because of tzedakah." Shenema, the next pasuk after that, Yeshaya continues, "Tzion b'mishpat tipodeh. Tzion will be redeemed with justice. V'shaveha, and those who return to it, but tzedakah will be redeemed with tzedakah." So the Gola mitzvah v'ashlema will come through tzedakah. Here the Gemara says, "In Yerushalayim niftis." The Rambam has a girsa, and he brings in Hilchas Matnas Aniyim, "En Yisrael migolin elab tzedakah." And this is a famous expression that's always quoted. Is based on the Rambam's formulation of our Gemara of here. And Yisrael Negolim, the Jewish people will be redeemed, Elav Tzedakah, only in the S'chus of Tzedakah. Omer HaPapa, and HaPapa continues in this vein, E Bat Li Yehiri, if, meaning when, the proud people, the Baal HaGaiva, are gone from the Jewish people, Bat Li Amgushi, then the Amgushi will also be gone who harass us. Rashi explains that the Amgushi are So the Gush that we have in front of us actually in Rashi is that Amgushi is Habdelim Yiras Hamokim, the people who separate themselves because of fear of Hashem. But that doesn't really fit with the meaning of the word Amgushi, so there seems to be a little mix-up in the Gush in Rashi over here, what it's supposed to be saying. Basically, Amgushi are Goyish priests, in particular it was the Persian priests of that time, who would harass the Jewish people, and elsewhere Rashi says they would also try to convince the Jewish people to join their religion. So now we're saying, when you have the Baal HaGaiva are gone, then we'll be rid of those people who are trying to harass us and convert us and whatever. And if the corrupt Jewish judges are gone and we don't have them anymore and all of them have been cleaned up, then we won't have to worry about, we won't have to be concerned about the Gzirpati, which are Goyish police who beat Jews and harass Jews. So what do we mean? How are these things connected? We're saying that if the proud ones are gone from among the Jewish people, the Bali Gaiva, then we're rid of the problem with the Amgushi Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, the same Pasuk that we quoted before. The Etzrif Kabursi Goyich, Hashem says, I will clean up your dross, your base metals, as if with soap, and I'll remove all of the Diloyich. So now we understand, Sigoyich means the proud people, because in Aramaic, the word Sagi means a lot. So it means the people who act like they have like they deserve and like they have a lot more than they do, the Bala Gaiva. B'diloich, meanwhile, means the Amgushi who are separated from Yiras Hashem, who don't fear Hashem, and who try to separate us from other course. So they're going to be gone. That's the connection. E batli dayoni, batli gzirpati, and if the corrupt judges are gone, then the gzirpati, the police, and then all who harass us are gone. Dichtiv, as another pasuk says, Heser Hashem Mishpatayich, Hashem has removed your judgments. Pina oivoyich, he's cleared away your enemies. So in other words, Mishpatayich means the corrupt judges who are corrupting judgment, and the result is Pina oivoyich, Hashem clears away and removes the goyish enemies, the police who would go and beat and harass Jews. Marshall also points out that you have other ways of understanding it as well. The Bala Gaiva pretend to be Kshedim, they pretend to be good Erlich Yidin, and really they're not. So they're like this base metal mixed in with silver or other metals like that, and they have to be cleared out. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yechanan, Im Ra'isa Dersh Mismayet V'Holich. If you see a generation that's becoming less and less, as in the people are having less and less money and more poverty, Chakeloi, then expect that Mashiach is going to be coming very shortly. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Am Oni Toshi Avagomer, the poor nation you Hashem will save. And Rabbi Yechanan continues, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Im Ra'isa Dersh Tzores Rabbis Boris Olav Panahar, if you see a generation that many Tzores are coming upon him like a river, Chakeloi, then also expect that Mashiach is coming, Shenema, Ki Yoveh Kanahar Tzor, as the Pasuk says, the enemy is going to come like a river, Ruach Hashem Noises Aboy, the Spirit of Hashem is chewing away at him. The Rashi explains the word noisisa is a type of worm or a termite or something called sus. So it means, in other words, that the Jewish people are getting attacked as if like by termites that are chewing away at them and causing tzaris. And meanwhile the enemy is coming like a river. And then the next verse continues, Volotzion Goyel, that the Redeemer will come to Tzion. So, in other words, in short, a lot of these things are saying when we realize that we're ultimately dependent exclusively on Hashem, and none of our human methods and none of our human politicians and anything are helping us. And of course, it doesn't have to be, that I've talked about a lot of times in Sichas, not all these things have to come true in the actual physical sense. Sometimes you can have, for example, that we realize this without having to actually go through these tzaras for one thing. And for another thing, enough of these things have happened over time that, yes, we can say we've already been yotze all of them. Plus, anyway, that now again, the Rambam says in Hilchos Mashiach, in Hilchos Melachim and Melchamos, that you have a lot of contradictory things among the Chachamim, including these Gemaras over here, and therefore we don't know how they're actually going to happen until they actually happen. And the basic thing is we know that Mashiach can come at any moment. We don't have to go start delving into has this happened, has this not happened, whatever. We know Mashiach can come at any time, and we'll find out then what each of these statements means. So the Gemara continues there. Of the Omer of Yechanan, Ein ben David ba ela bedosh kolay zakai or kolay chayim. Mashiach will come only in a generation which is either all tzaddikim or all rishoyim. Now, what do you mean? How is it ever going to be a time of all Rishoyim? There's always Tzaddikim in every generation. So one thing is, it means that it doesn't have to be all, it can be most, Rubik Kekulai, and maybe it means maybe not Chayev, as in completely Rishoyim, maybe it just means people who are not fully worthy of the Geula. And there's a lot of different other explanations and points made about this. Of Kulei Zakai, Kulei Chayev, the Oruch HaNer, for one, brings something that you have like this. When you have tzaddikim who are telling the people to do good, and people are not listening to them, then that's a problem. They're mizidim. When you don't have, when there's nobody giving them musar and telling them what to do, then everybody is considered shogeg at that point. So therefore, so that's what it is. In fact, he brings in this connection that Aaron tells Moshe when he's explaining to Moshe why he made the egel. If he had not made it for them and they had told them, don't make the egel, and they had not listened to him, then there would be a problem. They would all be amazed. Now when he made it, then therefore they're basically considered shriking. So in the same sense over here, in other words, what we mean is kolei zakai, kolei chayev, what we mean is, in other words, we're talking about not, we mean that there's nobody to give them musar anymore, and therefore when people are acting, they don't know better, and therefore that can be considered kolei chayev. But nevertheless, it means Hashem can consider everybody a shogeg, and therefore that's a time when Mashiach can come. And then there's many, many other different explanations of what it means, this idea of kolei zakai, kolei chayev. Among others, it means that the ones who are zakai are going to be completely zakai, and the ones who are chayev are going to be completely chayev. There's not going to be like any in-betweens over there. So why these two extremes? V'dosh kolei zakai dichtiv v'amich kolam tzaddikim, as the pasuk says, your nation are all tzaddikim, la'olam yushu aretz, forever they will inherit the earth. So meaning when the Jewish people are tzaddikim, then they'll inherit Eretz Yisrael permanently. How could it be? Mashiach will come in a generation which is all wicked, where there's no tzaddikim. So again, when they're all shogegim, like the Oruch HaNer says, dichtiv, as the pasuk says, vayar ki ein ish, Hashem sees that there's no man, there's nobody standing up for the Jewish people, vayishtoimim, and Hashem is, so to speak, astonished, ki ein mafgiyah, that there's nobody davening for the geula. So that means that the generation is kolei chayev uchtiv, and then the pasuk says lemani esa, Hashem says I will do for my sake, because I don't want there to be a chilul Hashem. Ultimately, Hashem takes us out of golus in order to prevent the chilul Hashem that's constantly being caused by us being in golus. So therefore, so when it comes to that point, then Hashem also has to act. The Gemara continues, Omer Rabbi Alexandri, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Rami. Now we have in this connection, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi pointed out a seeming contradiction between Pesukim. Ksiv, the Pesuk says, Ani Hashem v'ito achishena. Hashem says, I will bring it in its time, I will bring it quickly. So what is it? Which one is it? In its time or quickly? First the pasuk says be'ita and it's time, and then it says achishena, I will make it happen quickly. So which one is it? And the answer is, Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi explains a famous thing, zochu, if the Jewish people are zoicha achishena, then Hashem will bring the Golam mitzvah shleimah faster. Before the appointed time. Loi zochu, if they weren't completely zoicha, be'ita, Mashiach will come in the time when that Hashem decided, that Hashem predetermined. As we learned before, we had the argument of Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Is there in fact a predetermined time? And eventually Rabbi Yeshua won the argument, and yes, there is a predetermined time, whether the Jewish people deserve it or not. So therefore, it's going to be one or the other, either Be'ita or Achishena. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Romi. Here's another thing that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi pointed out, a contradiction between Pesukim. Steve, in this connection, Steve va'arui manani shmaya, Daniel describes, behold, with the clouds of heaven, kvar inash osa, an appearance of a person is coming, and that's Mashiach, so Mashiach is going to come quickly, like on clouds, uchtiv, but a different pasuk in Zechariah describes Mashiach, oni v'roicha v'achamur, a poor person riding on a donkey. So which is it? Is he going to come quickly on the clouds, or is he going to come slowly, like a person riding a donkey? And again, the answer is the same thing. Zochu, if the Jewish people are zoicha, then imanane shmaya, then Mashiach will come very quickly and unexpectedly, like on the clouds. Loi zochu, and if they're not worthy, then Mashiach will come gradually, oni v'roicha v'achamur, like a poor person riding on a donkey. One thing also it means in other words, Mashiach can come as part of a seemingly natural, drawn-out process. You know, you have the Rambam, for example, describes that you have a melech mibeis David, hoyigabat Torah, and over time, he fights Mechomis, Vinatseach, and so on and so forth. So it's like a gradual thing, like a person coming gradually on a donkey. Versus you can have that you have Hashem, that Mashiach comes all of a sudden, unexpectedly, out of nowhere, like coming on a cloud.
famous Rebbe was
the Rebbe brought all of these Gemaras over here. You know, it really is too bad that the printer has put so much Gemara text on each page, because here, you know, we have to go through it quickly, you know, but we could sit in Fabreng on each line of this Gemara for a long time. So the Gemara continues in this connection. Omele Shabur Malka L'Shmuel. Shabur Malka, he was the king of Persia at that time. He says to Shmuel, and he's saying in a mocking tone of voice, Amritu Mashiach al Chamra Asi. You say that Mashiach is going to come on a donkey. Why should he have to come on a donkey? It's not for covered dick for him. Eshter le Susya Barka Disli. I'll send him a fast horse of mine. Barka, Rashi actually explains, means a nicely combed and a nicely combed and curried horse. He was making fun of Shmuel. Rashi's second explanation is the word is not Barka with a rish, but Badka with a dalid, meaning a horse that's been tested and found to be able to run very fast. Meloshin Badika. The Yad Ramah similarly explains that it means that one that runs as fast as lightning. Meloshin Barka, Meloshin Barak, lightning. So it's like he's making fun. Like, what, you think Mashiach has to come slowly like that? I can give him one of my fast horses. Amalei, but Shmuel answers him, Mi Islach Bar Chivar Gavni, do you have a horse that has 100 different colors in it? Chivar usually means white, but here Rashi explains it's a word for 100. So do you have a horse that has 100 colors like Mashiach's donkey is going to have? So in other words, Rashi says he was just trying to push him off. Like, you're making fun, so I'll kind of answer you. I'll answer you kind of in your own coin. Of the donkey of Mashiach is not just any old kind of donkey. It's a special donkey. And there's a lot of points about that, what that means. It means that Mashiach, even Mashiach's donkey, the chumrius involving Mashiach, is going to have many different qualities to him. So therefore, in other words, he has to deal with everybody on their own level and be able to bring them each in their own time, each back to Torah and mitzvahs in their own way. There's a lot of other points about that, that he's saying that the donkey has to have many colors. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Shuban Levi Ashchel Eliyahu Davakoya Pischa Dem Arta Derushim Ben Yochai. Rabbi Shuban Levi one time met up with Eliyahu Anavi, and Eliyahu was standing by the entrance of the cave where Rabbi Shuban Ben Yochai is, of Rabbi Shuban Ben Yochai. Do we mean the cave where Rav Shimon Yochai is buried in Meron? The Yad Ramah says actually it means the cave where Rav Shimon had hidden out from the Romans years earlier. Anyway, Omalei, so Rabbi Shurban Levi asks him, Asina la alma de osi, will I come to Olam Abba? Omalei, so Eliyahu answers him, Yirtza odin azeh, if this master wants, meaning the Shechina that's resting over there. So basically it's up to Hashem. If Hashem wants, then yes, you're coming, then yes, you're coming into Gan Eden. As far as the colored donkey and everything, Marsha explains also, the Gemara mentions, we had a few blocks ago, that when a person sees a white horse in a dream, then it's a good simon. So it's chivur gavni, literally means of white colors. So he's saying, in other words, that the Gemara says that if you see a red horse in a dream, it's not so much a good simon, but if you, do you have, in other words, so when you shabur malka, you're thinking that you're going to have your nice, fast horse that you're going to give Mashiach. But, you know, with a horse, it really depends what color you see, as opposed to a donkey is always a good simon in a dream, as the Gemara explains over there. So therefore, it represents that no matter what kind of a horse represents war, a chamer is a patient creature that bears a burden, in the same way it represents Mashiach is going to bear the burden of Torah and mitzvahs. So therefore, no, he has to come on a donkey, not a horse, which also other Mephoshim point out, also a horse, besides that Marsha is saying represents war, it also represents, in other words, a Goyish king, who earn their power by fighting and doing wars or whatever. Whereas Mashiach earns his position as Mashiach because he bears the yoke of Torah and Mitzvahs, and therefore the donkey is the appropriate animal to symbolize how he comes more so than the horse. So Rabbi Shurban Levi is saying that, am I coming to Gan Eden? And he answers, when this master wants, which means he's referring to the Shechina. Although there is a different explanation that actually refers to the Shim Ben Yochai, that he's on such a great level that he's the one who can determine. Maharsha seems to have a girsa over here that, that the question was actually when Mashiach is going to come, and the answer is when Hashem wants it to happen, when Hashem decides that it's time. Rabbi Yisro ben Levi says, I only saw two over there. I saw the Yoan Novi and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, v'kel shloisha shamayti, but I heard a third voice as well, which was the voice of the Shechina that was there. So then Rabbi Shimon ben Levi asks Eliyahu, Emas osi Mashiach, when is Mashiach coming? Omalei, so Eliyahu tells him, Zil Shaila Lidi Day, why are you asking me? Go ask Mashiach himself. The Heicha Yosef, so where is Mashiach sitting? So he answers, Apischa de Karta, or uncensored Gemara, Sab de Roimi. He's sitting by the gate of Rome. So Rashi explains that it means actually he's sitting in, he's not literally at the entrance of the city, but rather he's sitting in Gan Eden, which Gan Eden is the size of the entire world. He's sitting on the side that corresponds to the gate of Rome. On the other hand, Maharsha says that maybe Droimi over here means not of Rome, but rather Droimi, the south. He's sitting by the southern gate of Gan Eden. The Ramban in his famous vikuach that he had against the Goyim and the Shemodim over there in Barcelona, they asked him about this Gemara. They said, you know, if you're saying Mashiach is in Rome, doesn't that mean that it's the Pope, you know, whatever, and all that shtus that they came up with? And the Ramban explains to them that no, on the contrary, it means he's going to stay in Rome until he finally destroys it. So Rabbi Yisro ben Levi asks, for my simone, what's the simon? How am I going to recognize him among all the other people over there? So he tells him, Yosef ben Aniye Sov Lechaloi. Mashiach is sitting over there among the poor people who suffer from illnesses.
Bandaged up.
The Kulan Shoto Vasiri Bechad Zimna. Now you'll notice the difference. All the other people, all the other poor people who sit over there, when they take off their bandages to clean their wounds, Shoto Vasiri Bechad Zimna. They open up, they take off all their bandages and clean them, and then they put them back on. Ihu shori chad v'osu chad. He, Moshiach, takes one at a time off and then puts it back on. Omar, because he thinks to himself, I might be called on to be Moshiach at any moment. I don't want to be delayed. And they never talked about this. You see how when we say Moshiach can come any moment, there's such an any moment that literally has not even time enough to bandage up all the other bandages. So the Gemara says, "Ozel Gabei." Sure enough, Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi comes to Mashiach. Omalei says, "Shalom Alecha, Rebbe Umari." He greets him respectfully, like a Rebbe. Omalei, "Shalom Alecha, Bar Levoi." And Mashiach answers him, "Peace upon you, son of Levi." Which the Gemara will explain. Eliyahu is going to explain to him soon why he called him that. Usually, you call a person by his father's name is meant to degrade him. Obviously, that's not over here. So we'll explain in a second. Omalei la'emas osi mar. When are you coming? Omalei, and Mashiach answers him hayoyim today. Also, Gabel Eliyahu, Rabbi Shlomo Levi comes back to Eliyahu. Omalei my omalach. What did he tell him? What did he tell you? Omalei. So he tells him shalom alecha bar divoy. Omalei. So Eliyahu explains by saying that, with that, he's promised that both you and your father are bnei olam haba, because by calling you by your father's name, he meant that your father is also a distinguished tzaddik who also deserves a special place in olam haba. If not for that, Rashi says, the fact that he gave you shalom shows that you're a great tzaddik, and the fact that he mentioned your father's name means your father is also a great tzaddik. Omalei, and then Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi says, Shakuri Kashakovi. He lied to me. Omalei Hayoimastine. He said, I'm coming today. Veloyosa. And the day is over and he hasn't come. Omalei, so Eliyahu explains to him, no, you misunderstood him. Hochi Omalach, what he was telling you is, as the Pasuk says, Hayoim im b'kolis ishmo. Mashiach can come today. Mashiach can come at any time if you listen to Hashem's voice. The Gemara continues, Shalat Talmidim as Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma. Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma's Talmidim asked him, Amos said, Ben David, ba, when is Ben David? When is Mashiach coming? Omar, he says, Misyare ani, shema tevakshu mimeni ois. I don't want to tell you because I'm concerned that you're going to ask me for a sign that what I'm saying is true. Omruloi, einonu mevakshu mimcha ois. So they say, fine, we won't ask you for a sign, just tell us. So he tells them, when this gate falls down, v'yibona, and it was rebuilt, v'yipol, and then it falls down again, v'yibona, and then they build it again, v'yipol, and it falls down yet again, v'ein maskrik and livnoisei, ad she ben David ba, and before they have a chance to rebuild it, Mashiach will have come. Rashi again says, Asharazeh, Rashi says that this gate was in the city of Rome. So he's pointing to a particular gate and saying that when this happens, then Mashiach is coming. With that said, there are other, we do find, some Mephoshim point out, there was a city in Eretz Yisrael also called Roimi, and therefore it might be referring to that rather than the actual city of Rome. So he
was sitting in Rome anyhow.
No, so we said before that was Rabbi Shimon Levi, now we're talking about Rabbi Yossi ben Kisna.
Oh, but wasn't that speaking about Eliyahu Navi himself?
No, now we're talking about the Rabbi Yossi ben Kisna's Talmidim are asking him. This is Rabbi Yossi ben Kisna that we have in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, where one time I met up with a guy and he offered me to move to his city and he's going to give me a huge amount of money, and I said I'm only going to live in a Mokum Torah. So the pastures, he was still in Eretz Yisrael. So one possibility is that Roimi over here means a city in Eretz Yisrael of that name. Another possibility, Benny Oyada points out, it may mean we were talking before about a gate in Rome, maybe referring to Titus' arch, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, the point is that he's saying, so he's referring to this gate, meaning the one that we were talking about before. And Benny Oyada goes on to explain what the symbolism behind it is. We find that when Esav cried over the fact that he lost the brachas, he cried two tears, and then the third tear started falling but didn't finish falling, and therefore, and because of that, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed twice. So therefore, in the same way, this gate is going to be destroyed twice, rebuilt twice, corresponding to the two churbanas, and then the third one, the third tier never fell, so the same way this third gate will never be rebuilt, and Edom will be gone, and the third Beis Hamikdash will be built. So the Talmidim said, Rebbeinu, ten lanu ois, give us a sign. Amalahem, he says, V'loy kach amartem li, she'ein atem evakshim meni ois, didn't you tell me to begin with, you're not going to ask me for a sign. Omruloi v'achopikein, nevertheless, we still want to ask you for a sign. Amalahem, im kach, if so, if you want to see that what I'm saying is true, Yehovcho me maras pamias ledom, then the water of the cave of Pamias, which is one of the major sources of the Yarden in the north of Eretz Yisrael, will turn into blood, and sure enough, for nefcho ledom, and sure enough, the water turned into blood. So again, now that's the problem. If they're standing by Ma'aras Pamias, which is in Eretz Yisrael, how are they talking about a gate in Rome? So that's what we were talking about before. That means that the conversation took place at two different times, or it may be that Roimi is a place in Eretz Yisrael near Pamias, or it may be that he's referring to the gate that we were talking about before. But Ben Yehoyada says, I mean, what do you mean? What's the Derech Eretz over here? He told them, they said they're not going to ask for an ois, and here they're asking for an ois, and he's doing for one. So he explains that when they first asked, Amos said, Ben David Ba, they wanted to know the actual day when he's going to come. But instead he gives them a simon, l'chriyip l'sha'azeh v'yibonah. So now they're saying, so to begin with, he says, I'm afraid that you're going to want to tell me the actual date, and then you're going to demand an ois for that, and they say that, no, we won't ask something like that. So he tells them, l'chshib r'ashazeh. Now when they say, ten lanu ois, means, in other words, that's a different kind of thing we're asking. Fine, we're not asking the actual day when Mashiach is going to come, but we want to know, how do we know that Mashiach's coming depends on this gate falling and being rebuilt, et cetera, et cetera. And then he says, didn't I tell you not to ask, meaning, in other words, then you're going to ask me for the actual date of Mashiach. So they said, no, Alpha Pekane, fine, look, we don't, ultimately, telling us when this gate is going to fall and be rebuilt, etc., it doesn't tell us the actual time when Mashiach is going to come, it just gives us a simon for it, so for that, you can give us a simon, and for that, fine, he gives them a simon. Bishas Ptirosa, when Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma passed away, Omer Lahen, he tells the Talmidim, Hamikuli Aroini, put my oren very, very deep into the ground. She'ain called Dekel v'Dekel Shabbat Bavel, because there'll come a time when there won't be a single palm tree in Bavel, where there were many palm trees, She'ain Sus Shoparsiyim Nikshaboy, where there won't be a Persian horse tied to it. In other words, eventually the Persians are going to conquer Bavel, which happened a few decades after Rabbi Yosef and Kisma passed away, that the Persians conquered Bavel, and then it's going to be full of Persians and their horses, and then they're going to go attack Eretz Yisrael, Ve'ain Lachokal Oren V'Oren Shabbat Eretz Yisrael, She'ain Sus Modi Oichabay Teven. There won't be a single coffin in Eretz Yisrael where the horses of Madai are going to not be eating straw out of. In other words, they're going to be unburying, they're going to be taking out the coffins out of the Kvarim in Eretz Yisrael, and the army of Madai is going to be using them to feed their horses out of. So therefore, he says, bury me extra deep so that they can't unbury me and use me for that.
Doesn't the rock away? Oh, that's for stone.
No, there was stone coffins, stone sarcophagi. Yeah, they found them all over Eretz Yisrael.
Wow. And still considered holy.
Historically, it did. I mean, about 100 years after Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma passed away, the Persians conquered Babel. And then after that, they fought back and forth with the Romans over the years over Eretz Yisrael. Eventually, there was a time, in the 7th century, Laminyanim, when they conquered Eretz Yisrael and held on to it for about 15 years. There was a period over there, in fact, where they promised the Jews that they can rebuild the Beis Mikdash, and they went back on their promise. So attacker happened. What he's saying, that the Persians invaded Eretz Yisrael and took many of these things and started using them to feed their horses. Yeah. The Gemara continues. Omer Rav, in ben David ba, achetespashet malchus harasha av Yisrael tisha chadashim. Ben David will not come until the malchus harasha, the wicked kingdom, usually means the Romans, will dominate the entire Jewish people for 9 months. Why 9 months? Shenema l'chein yitnem. Therefore, Hashem is going to hand over the Jewish people to their enemies ad esia leida yolada, until the time when a woman who's giving birth gives birth, which is 9 months, the length of a pregnancy. The yeser, and then the pasuk continues. The yeser echav and the rest of his brothers yeshuvu now bnei Yisrael will return and join the Jewish people. So in other words, the next pasuk continues. The next pasuk continues. It actually continues. But Omad, he will stand Mashiach the rab ba'oiz Hashem and hold graze and pasture and feed the Jewish people with the power of Hashem. Ki ata yiv yeshuvu, and they'll settle peacefully. Ki ata yigdal, because then he'll be great. So we see, in other words, that it's all connected. That there's going to be this esia lady yolada, 9 months of malchus harashem, like a woman giving birth, and then after that Mashiach is coming and everybody's returning and so forth. So now, talking about Chevlei Mashiach, about the difficulties that we're gonna have to go through before Mashiach comes. The word Chevlei, by the way, has a double meaning also. It means Chevlei, as in like you have Chavolim Nosu Libani'imim, which means a portion, a lot. So like there's an important, appointed portion of Sardis that are going to happen before Mashiach comes. The other explanation of Chevlei means labor pains, like when a woman is in labor, and it represents, like we said before, Mashiach is the process of Mashiach coming. It's like a birth. You have many psukim that use that metaphor for Mashiach coming. It's like a woman giving birth, and therefore there's going to be labor pains before it. So the Gemara says, Oma Ola Yesi V'loy Echmine. Let Mashiach come, but let me not be alive to see it, because there's going to be such a tremendous tzoris in those times. V'chein omer Rabba, and Rabba says similarly, or on the side over here, it says Be'er Sheva has instead Rabba Yesi v'lo yachmine, let him come, but let me not be alive to see him. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef omer, Rabbi Yosef says Yesi, not only let Mashiach come, the ezke, let me have the schus, the esed, the tula, the kufisa, the chamne, that I should be able to sit in the shadow of the waste, of the dung of his donkey. In other words, no matter what, as bad as it might be, there's going to be, all there is like, you have his donkey, and you have the waste of his donkey, which is like the lowest thing. Nevertheless, I should have the schus to be alive when Mashiach comes, even if it means going through all those chedle Mashiach. There's a sikh of the Rebbe from Tavshin Lamed Vav where he talks about the deeper meaning behind all of this. First of all, we find at the end of Soter of Yosef was a tremendous honor, so therefore he's talking like this. I don't care if I'm sitting in the shadow of the dung of his donkey, I get to see him. But then he talks about, in other words, that the idea is that Mashiach is going to have a tremendous effect on everything in the world, even the lowest gashmius of the world. The chamor, we said, we have the donkey of Mashiach, which itself represents chumrius, and then you have the waste of it, which represents even a lower level of chumrius. And nevertheless, Mashiach is still going to have an effect over even those aspects of the world. And that ever points out, actually, you find something in Shuvas HaGaonim where they used to use the waste of donkeys as a potion to heal a bris milah. They would make some kind of concoction that included that as one of the ingredients to heal bris milah. So you see that even in the pre-Mashiach world, you see that kind of thing has a tremendous effect, and it has to do with milah, which is a tremendously great high mitzvah. So therefore, so that's why Rabbi Yosef is saying what he says.
You can see these other people didn't have hearts on their
own. Yeah. So the Gemara continues. Yeah. So the Gemara continues. Omale Abaya the Rovo or the Rabba. So Abaya asks, we just said Rovo or Rabba had said, Yesi v'lo yachmina. I don't really want to be alive to see when Mashiach comes. So Abaya asks him, why? My timer. Ilema Mashum Chevlei Shal Mashiach. Are you telling me because of the troubles, the girdle, or the labor pains before Mashiach? Rashi brings another point as well. The word chevlei also means pchodim b'chavolim, the fear and the fear and the hardship that they're going to have at that time because of the goyish armies. So you're afraid of that. V'hatanya, we learn in a brisa, shalot talmidei v'sreb alazer, ma yasa odem yinotzem chevlei shamashiach. What should a person do to be saved from chevlei shamashiach? Yasek b'torah v'gmilas chasadim. He should occupy himself with Torah and gmilas chasadim. So you do that. So what do you have to be afraid of? Chevlei mashiach. Umar hot Torah v'gmilas chasadim. You Rebbe, you do Torah and you do gmilas chasadim. So what's the problem? Amalei, so Rabba answers, shema yigrim achet. Yes, but I'm afraid that my Averus might cause that I might not have the schus to live through that era, and therefore I don't want to be around at that time. Kidir Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi, as we find, Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi explains, that Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi Romi, you have a contradiction within what Yaakov did. Ksiv, the Pasuk says that Hashem promised Yaakov, Hine Anochi Imach, behold, I'm with you in Parshas Vayetze, Ushmarticha B'chol Asher Teilech, and I'll guard you wherever you go, Uchtiv, but then in Vayishlach, you have a Yira Yaakov Ma'ir Vayetze. He was very afraid and he was very troubled. Why? He was afraid because his Averus might block Hashem's promise from helping him. Kidetanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, that you can even have that on a national level. The Pasuk says in Oz Yosher, Ad Yaver Amcha Hashem, until your people, Hashem, pass over. That means Zubir Rishonah, that refers to the first time that they passed over and crossed the Yarden and came into Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Ad Yaver Am Zukonisa, until this people that you have taken, that you've acquired for yourself, have passed over. That means Zubir Shnia, that refers to the second coming in the time of Ezra. Which means, therefore, Emma Me'atah, so now you have a Hekesh. In other words, the second Bia should have been like the first one. Re'uyim Ho Yisrael, Lassus Lam Nest, Bia Shnia, Kibia Rishonah, the Jewish people, by rights, should have deserved that when they come back to Eretz Yisrael in the times of Ezra, they should have had open Nisim like they did the first time around, that the water should split and they should go in their own Koyach. Ella should go to Machet, but their Chatoim of that time, intermarriage and other problems prevented that, and therefore it had to be more of a naturalistic kind of thing that the king had to give them permission, and they were harassed by the Goyim, and so on and so forth. So we see, in other words, that even then something good that's supposed to happen, as long as it wasn't an open nevuah. Now, when you have it's an open nevuah to the Jewish people, then it has to always come true. That's the siman of a true Navi. But here you're talking about it wasn't an actual nevuah. It's just implied in the words of the Psukim, or to Yaakov, where it was a nevuah, but it was to him privately. Then yes, Shema Yigra Machet could be a factor. So therefore, Rabbah says in the same way, I'm worried about that also.
Was there a water situation by
the... Well, there's nothing else. They had to go from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and there are rivers, of course. So the Gemara continues. The same way as we said that Ula and Rabba or Rabba had said, I don't want to be alive when Mashiach comes, Rabbi Yechanan said the same thing. Omalei Rish Lakish, and again, Rish Lakish says, that asks him the same kind of thing. My timer. Ilema Mashum Dichtim. Is it because you're concerned about the kind of thing described in the following pasuk, okay, the troubles that are going to be before Mashiach comes? Kasher yonus ish v'pnei ha'ari. Imagine like a person who's running away from a lion, ufgoi hadoiv, and then instead he meets up with a bear, so he's gotten out of one danger and immediately he's in another. Uva habai, so he comes into the house figuring he'll be safe from the bear. The samach yode alakir, he leans his hand against the wall. Unashochai nochash, and he's bitten by a snake. So in other words, you think you're getting out of one trouble, and then another trouble comes right after it. So you're worried, Rabbi Yechanan, that there's going to be like that, one trouble after another in the time before Mashiach comes. Now in context, the Pasuk is not necessarily talking about Chevle Mashiach, but Marsha explains. The Pasuk before that says, Oyam Yisavim Es Yom Hashem. Woe to those who are looking forward to the day of Hashem. So the Gemara's understanding over here means the day when Mashiach comes. Bo Yom Hashem Agodo V'Hanoyla. And he talks about that the various creatures over here represent the different malchus that ruled over the Jewish people. First you have the lion representing Babel, then you have the bear representing Paras Amadei, then you have the snake, then you have the Samach Yodei Alakir, he leans his hand against the wall, refers to Malchus Yavon, and then the snake represents Malchus Edom. So in other words, there's going to be one after another, there's going to be these tzaras. So Rish Lakish says, fine, what's the problem? I can show you, this kind of thing happens in our world also, now before Mashiach is coming. A person goes out to the field, and he meets up with the city, with the person who plants out the city maps. So, and he wants to, and Rashi explains now, so now he's out in his field, the Santa wants to go measure his field and remeasure it, and he's going to end up saying, you know what, your field, your border lines of your field aren't where they're supposed to be, your field is supposed to be smaller based on my surveys. So now you've had land taken away from you by meaning this fellow, and you feel as though a lion has met up with you, that now you're in trouble. Now you have a smaller plot of land than you thought you did, and then it's going to affect your parnasa. Nichnas le'ir, then you go into the city, and you meet up with a tax collector. During the commission, and you feel as though you've been encountered by a bear. Nichnas le'beis, then a person like that goes into his house, and he finds his sons and daughters are hungry. During the commission, and he feels as though a snake has bitten him. So exactly the same kind of thing. From one sara to another, we have nowadays also what makes you so worried about what's going to be the Moshe Mashiach. Ella, Mishum Dichtiv. No, rather, the reason is, but what was Rabbi Yochanan so worried about? You have a pasuk that says, Shtalu Noru, ask around and see, Im Yolid Zachar, does a male ever give birth? Of course not. Madur Reisi Kol Gever Yodav Achalotz of Kayeleda. So why is it that I see that every man, and Gever means a strong man, has his hands on his hips, like a woman about to give birth, like he's having tremendous labor pangs. The Nefchu Koponim Liyarokin, and all faces are turning green. So in other words, there's going to be a time when even the strongest ones are going to feel like a weakness, and they're going to feel like we can't stand it anymore. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Yochanan is concerned about. So the Gemara says, "My ro'isi kol geber." What does that mean? I've seen every geber. Amar Rav Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav Misha kol gvura shaloi. It means the one to whom all strength belongs. So we mean, in other words, Rashi explains it means Hashem. Hashem is going to feel at that time kavyochol as like a woman giving birth in tremendous sound and tremendous pain. As the Gemara is going to go on to say, it's time to take the Jewish people out of Golos, but how can I destroy the Goyim in favor of the Jewish people? Like, they're all my Nivroim, after all. So to speak, Hashem himself is going to be in tremendous tzar. The Yad Ramah instead explains that it means every strong person. It doesn't mean Hashem. It means every strong person at that time, his strength is going to fail, and like he's not going to know what to do anymore. So, my v'nefchu koponim liyarokin. What is the continuation of the pasuk? All faces are going to turn green from fright. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the koponim means pamalya shamayla or pamalya shamata. It means the host down up above, meaning the malachim, and shamata and down below of the Jewish people. Rashi brings there was a girsa, filo hagerim, that even the gerim, but Rashi doesn't like that girsa and takes it out. What does this mean? B'shosh Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's going to come a point when Hashem is going to say, Halodu Masi Yodai, V'halodu Masi Yodai. Both the Jewish people and the Goyim are all the work of my hands. I made all of them. Heyach Ha'abed Elu Mepne Elu. How can I destroy Goy Gomogog and the other hostile nations in favor of the Jewish people? So it's like as if like the Jewish people don't really deserve to be saved when it's going to be at the expense of, punishing the Goyim. So at that point, now the Venefchul Koponim Liyarokin, the Malachim and the Jewish people are going to feel tremendous tsar that Hashem is like almost second guessing himself, Kavyachol, whether Mashiach should come. So that's going to be the tsar that we describe, that all faces will turn green. Amar Papa. So the Papa says, "Hainu da'ami inchi." This is like the expression people say, "Rohit v'nofel Torah." The ox is running and it falls, and now it fell and broke its leg, and it can't plow anymore. And instead, you go and put a horse in its stall. So now, afterwards, the point is that now, when the ox recovers, then you don't want to kick out the horse to make room for the ox again, because you already have, it's the horse's place. So to speak, Hashem is saying that the Jewish people originally had greatness, and then Hashem took it away from us and gave it to the Goyim. Now, when it comes time, when we do tshuva and it's time for Mashiach to come, then Hashem is going to feel how is it right to take away this greatness that I gave the Goyim all this time and take it away from them and give it back to the Jewish people. So at that time, the nefchok upon him, the yirok, and all faces are going to turn green, are going to turn pale with like, is that really how it's going to be? There's a possibility that there won't be the Gola Mitzvah Shlema. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is concerned about that kind of time, and therefore he doesn't want to be alive when that kind of thing is going on. So the Ben Yehoyada has a further explanation about the details of this symbolism over here that he's saying it's not when the ox is injured, you don't take a donkey over here, because a donkey is like a garua, it's like a low class kind of creature, so you realize that instead you bring a horse, which a horse actually has a soul of its own, so then eventually you will be able to restore things because the horse has a place to feed of its own. But he's saying, "Hey, chab abed elam with elam. I don't want to destroy them. Fine, I'll move them out of the way." But as opposed to the donkey, you might have to say that I have to keep it over there because I have no place else to keep it. So the metaphor is, in other words, that Hashem is saying, "Fine, I don't want to have to destroy the goyim, but I will move them aside for the sake of the Jewish people."
Well, sounds like so he's worried about the horse. You know?
The point is, the horse represents the goyim. In other words, we're saying that Hashem has a concern for the horse, for the goyim as well. But therefore, because of this, Rabbi Yechonah is saying, I don't want to be around at that time when Hashem, so to speak, has to make that decision. Ultimately, the decision will be in favor of the Jewish people, but still, it means there's going to be Chevle Mashiach, and Rabbi Yechonah is saying, I don't want to live through all of that.
We see it now, yeah.
Yeah.